want to encourage anyone here, if you are needing something in your life, whether that be a miracle, healing, deliverance, I don't know, maybe you were depressed, whatever it is, maybe it's a financial need, knock, reach out, step out in faith today and believe, I believe for you that God is going to work a miracle in your life today. Thank you, Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, because I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Jesus in the darkness over.
Hallelujah, Jesus. You're worthy, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus.
Amen. Just speak that name of Jesus all over this house, no matter what fear, no matter what chains, no matter what stronghold you are going through this week, this month, or this year. That name of Jesus can bring victory. You can be seated this morning. We serve such an awesome God. Happy 4th of July weekend as we celebrate this wonderful Independence weekend. And Jesus can give you independence and freedom from a life of sin and addiction. If it's your first time worshiping with us and you're here in the building, we have a connection card we'd love for you to fill out. Turn it in at the welcome kiosk. Just a few points of information so we can get to know you, stay connected. If you're watching online, we have a bit.ly link. You can go there as well. Fill out the same few points of information. We just want to get connected with you, get to know you, and see how we can help minister to you in whatever situations you're going through, because we all have challenges, but Jesus is the answer. Amen. If you would like to give today, we have some giving options out at the welcome kiosk. You can drop your offering out there. You can mail it in. You can text to give. Or you can also use the Church Center app, which is a wonderful way, and you can designate in each one of those areas what you would like it to go for. We know that God blesses a cheerful giver, so I'm glad that we have all these opportunities to give so I can be blessed. Amen? You can take it for a grain of salt. Maybe you don't want to be blessed, but I want to be blessed, and I'm going to give cheerfully, and I'm thankful that that God has provided so many ways, so I have no excuse but to give. Amen. A few announcements. We have family camp beginning today. I know many of our congregation are already up there, heading up there. Some are heading after service. So keep all those that are traveling in your prayers. But also God is doing some awesome things this week for our district, but for all those from Calvary that are there, all those that are from our state and around the district that are up there, that God touched them. And if you're not able to go, I know they've been trying to get it streamed for quite a while, but you can go to YouTube and go to Wisconsin Media Missions. I can't guarantee that family camp's going to be up there, folks, but there's a lot of other great services from around our district. Get plugged in, get charged up. Let this be an awesome week of what God has in store. Sunday, July 17th, we're going to be having a special speaker. Reverend Morton Buster will be here speaking he'll be here for both services, but he'll be speaking in our 11 a.m. service. And we're going to have a wonderful, awesome, powerful time of ministry. If you have someone that needs healing, Brother Morton Buster ministers in the gift of faith. And he also ministers in the gift of the Spirit. So whatever God has need of, whether it be healing, whether it be faith, whether it be a word of wisdom, he will be here ministering under the unction of the Holy Ghost. Invite a friend. Invite a family member. Invite an enemy. Invite a coworker. Just invite somebody to the house of God so that they can be touched, that they can be healed, and they can be ministered to. Amen. Some of you think I was joking. Hey, the best way to minister to your enemies is get them in the house of God. Then your enemies become frenemies, and then they just become best friends, and, you know. It's the 4th of July. I'm happy, folks. We've got to have the joy of the Lord. We are privileged to live in the greatest nation on earth. And I don't want us to take that for granted. You can stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. But it is the greatest nation on earth for one simple reason. Because we've used the resources that God has given us to send this gospel and missionaries not only across this nation, but around the globe. And God has blessed us for that. So as we celebrate our freedom this week and as we celebrate our independence, let's also remember why God gave it to us. Let's share the gospel. Let's pray for somebody. You may not say, well, I don't know how to teach a Bible, but you can pray for somebody. You may not say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, simply, we're going to pray in a few minutes. But you just go, hey, can I pray for you? They may want to pray right there. That's awesome. They may not. But simply be a light. Be a witness. We have awesome church cards you can pass out. Invite people to the house of God because our world needs Jesus. Amen. And I believe in these last days we are going to see a breakthrough like never before. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this service. Thank you for every person here in the building watching online. Be with all those that are traveling to camp, God. Those that are already there at camp. Let them have an awesome move of God. Let them experience your power like never before. Thank you for the word that's going to go forth in a little while from Pastor Seinel. Move on him. Anoint him, God. Just as he spoke an awesome message in the adult Bible class, God, also give him the right words to say, that we will be challenged, that we will grow, that we will go forth in victory. God, I thank you for each and every person. You see every hurt. You see every broken. You see every need. You see every hang up, hurt, and addiction, God. And we know that you are able to heal it, to bring victory, to overcome. Have your way in this service, God. We thank you that we can worship you, God, and let your healing virtue go forth across our great nation. As we celebrate our freedom, let us also celebrate victory in you. Have your way in your mighty, precious name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's worship Jesus. Feel free to come around the altar. God's going to break through. Amen. God bless you. Let's take some time to worship.
Something. something right. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to play.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, yes, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Yeah. Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Praise God. You can be seated. Sometimes when you step up, or when I step up here, you feel the presence of the Lord, and I don't even want to say anything. I just want to respond to his presence and forget that everybody's standing in front or sitting in front of me. I feel feel the presence of the Lord here right now. It's so good to know. My mind goes back to the first times that I felt God's presence, and it was such a surprise to me that I could experience what I was experiencing. I hope you're feeling the ministry of the Holy Ghost this morning. Amen. Somebody call on the name of Jesus like you mean it. Jesus. Hallelujah. It's a name that's above every other name. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Praise God. I'm glad I know him. Han van Meegeren was a mid-level Dutch artist with a penchant for naturalistic and realistic style. Maybe Jenny knows about him, or maybe she doesn't, our art teacher. It was a time when avant-garde movements were commonplace. His critics recognized his technical talent, but they found in his work no sign of originality. Out of spite and driven by the desire to humiliate his critics, Van Meegeren began to try to trick them. He began to forge the work of the revered old master Vermeer. Van Meegeren spent years in Nice developing the ultimate process to create the perfect fakes. He gained the right paint, the right canvases, the right kind of wood panels, and even recreated a homemade brush similar to the one that Vermeer used. He also managed to accelerate the aging process of the paint and the canvas and to create a plausible craquelure pattern. Love that word, craquelure. In 1937, Van Meegeren's forgery depicting the Last Supper fell into the hands of Vermeer expert Abraham Bredius, who was a collector and expert, Bredius declared the work, this forgery of Van Meegeren, as authentic. And not only did he call it authentic, but he identified it as Vermeer's seminal masterpiece. Van Meegeren's forgeries accumulated to become a treasure trove with an estimated market value of $30 million. They were so convincing that they were never actually analyzed by anybody. On the contrary, we would probably know nothing about this whole story if Van Meegeren had not determined to give himself away. In the aftermath of World War II, the Dutch government brought him to trial on charges of conspiring with the Nazis. He had sold, via a third party, the painting Woman Taken in Adultery by Vermeer, which was a national treasure for the Dutch. He had sold it to Goering. He decided it was better to be considered a forger than a traitor, and Van Meegeren confessed that he had indeed sold that painting to Goering, but he had not betrayed a heritage icon by Vermeer, but rather a highly accomplished painting that he had made himself. Moreover, he claimed to have traded this forgery for more than 100 Dutch artworks, saving them from Nazi looting. The fame he had longed for as an artist was finally achieved as a sort of a patriot. Brothers and sisters, it can be very costly to believe in a forgery. I want to speak about the authentic Jesus. Luke chapter 21 tells us that Jesus stood before the temple one day and addressed his disciples. He wanted them to know that the temple in all of its organization and all of the activities that surrounded it were not the things that would save them. He told them one day soon the temple would be destroyed and torn down. All that they were familiar with would be turned upside down. Their institutions and their lifestyle would be drastically changed, if not totally eliminated. Luke 21:7 says, and they asked him, saying, Master, when shall these things be, and what sign shall there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. The apostles, like many of us, had questions about the last days. When was he going to establish his kingdom? In their day, they were expecting a conquering Messiah, one who would overthrow the Roman government, throw them out of Palestine, and place Israel at the top of the new world order. They probably didn't use that terminology, but it is what they were looking for. Today, there's a lot of us are looking for a new world order, especially outside of this building. We hear it all the time. Unfortunately, when it does come to pass, it won't be what people think it will be. And Jesus will not be the head of it. Not the first time, anyway. A lot of people are looking for someone to save the world. Millions are looking for a political system that will bring all of the world's governments into agreement. Oh, if only we could get Russia to go along with the rest of the world. Then what's happening in Ukraine wouldn't be happening. We need a new world order. Certainly the UN or the World Health Organization or one political party or another must have the answer. Many people believe that we can save the planet by following a green ideology, or should I say, green theology. It's a confusing time. And many of those who decide to seek God are confronted with conflicting and competing messages about the Bible, about truth, about salvation, and even who Jesus is. Christianity itself is splintered into many factions and ideologies. Some of these schisms are so far removed from the principles of the Bible, some of them even refute the Bible and still dare to identify themselves as Christian. Ask a preacher from any one of various denominations this question, who is Jesus? And you'll receive an astounding variety of answers. Many of those answers even avoid the mention of his divinity. They do not want to talk about his willingness and ability to save us. They relegate Jesus to the status of a teacher, even a cult leader, or a literary figure. It's in this kind of environment people come along who claim to have the answer. It has always been that way. In the past, great leaders and even terrible leaders have risen to claim power in the most confusing of times. Humanity looks for someone to provide an answer, someone to bring peace, someone to restore order. Many would rather trust in a man that they can see rather than believe in a God they can't see. Many are willing to compromise their values and their liberty for the promise of safety and security. Paul said in 2 Timothy, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. I'm seeing this all around me. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. From such, turn away. We've read this passage. We've heard this passage. We know what it says. Hearing this and knowing this, when we look around us, it's hard to believe that we are not in the last days. I believe we are. The things that the prophets of the Bible speak of appear daily on the internet and in the headlines. The things that were predicted by preachers just a generation ago are happening right before our eyes. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape." The world needs answers. This world needs peace. Our world needs a Savior. We need Jesus. Now more than ever, we need Jesus. You need Jesus. I need Jesus. We need Jesus. But we need the real Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus of heaven and earth, the first and the last, the everlasting one. In Luke, the passage we read, Jesus said, "Many would come in his name saying, 'I am Christ.'" This passage occurs in all of the synoptic gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And in Luke and Mark, this passage actually says, "Many will come in my name saying, 'I am.'" That adds a little different weight to it. That's the phrase that Jesus used to identify himself as God manifest in the flesh, as the Messiah. It's the term that God used in Exodus to identify himself to Moses. In the last days, there's going to be a tremendous effort to replace the truth of who Jesus is with a false Christ. Where it says many would come in his name, we oftentimes, or I oftentimes, think of it as will come with authority, but that isn't the word authority there. It's actually talking about the name. It's as if God really wanted us to be alert, to be aware of this possibility. He made it plain. When he said in his name, it's as if Pastor Phil answered a church phone here in the middle of the week and said, "This is Pastor John Seidel. May I help you?" And if my wife were calling, she would immediately recognize that it wasn't my voice. Why are you using my husband's name? It's exactly what we're talking about. They will come using his name. Jesus made a promise to his disciples in John 14. He said, "Don't let your hearts be distressed. You believe in God, believe also in me. There are many dwelling places in my Father's house. Otherwise, I would have told you, because I am going to make a place for you. And if I go and make ready a place for you, I will come again and take you to be with me, so that where I am, you may be too. And you know the way where I am going." Don't be distressed, Jesus said. Don't be distressed, child of God. The King James Version says, "Don't let your heart be troubled." Are you distressed by what's happening in the world today? It's easy to understand. Is your heart troubled? Do these seem like perilous times? Like treacherous times? Thomas then in verse 5 said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus replied, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." If you have known me, you will know my Father too. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and we'll be content. How many of us have that attitude? God, show us what we want to see. And then we'll believe. Then we'll be content. Then our heart won't be troubled. Jesus replied, have I been with you for so long and you have not known me, Philip? The person who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? I'll say that again. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father residing in me performs his miraculous deeds. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not believe me, believe because of the miraculous deeds themselves. How many of you remember those days when you didn't know Jesus? How many of you remember the bondage of sin, the chains of addiction, the struggles on a daily basis to overcome your own nature? Just remember the miraculous deeds that God has done for you. I tell you the solemn truth, the person who believes in me, listen to this, the person who believes in me will perform the miraculous deeds that I'm doing and will perform greater deeds than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. The question is, do we know Jesus? Do we know the authentic Jesus? Do I believe? Do I really believe? Not just that Jesus lived, not just that he was a great teacher, not just that he loves everybody. Do I believe that Jesus Christ is in the Father and the Father in him? Do we really believe that he is who the Bible says he is? Peter confessed in Matthew 16, saying to Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It was a revelation, Jesus said, that he didn't get from anyone else but from the presence of God itself. The Messiah, Peter said. Jesus said, Peter, you are right. And this is the truth I build my church on. Do we believe that he truly is a Savior? Do we believe that Jesus is the Creator? Do I believe that Jesus is the Judge, the first and the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the everlasting, the Holy One of Israel, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings? Do I believe it? Do we believe in God? Then we must believe in him, in Jesus. Because we know. I said we know. We know. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the rock solid foundation, the tangible evidence of things that are hoped for. And if our faith is not founded in Jesus Christ, then we have no hope. If I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and the Father is in him and he is in the Father, then I must believe that he is Messiah. He is God manifest in the flesh. There's no reason for my heart to be troubled. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ. He's in control. He knows the end from the beginning. We cannot accept the counterfeit Jesus. We cannot accept the forgery. We must know what the Bible says about who Jesus is. We must know what the Bible says about salvation in his name. We must know what he meant when he said, we must know what it means to be born again. Acts 4 says there's no salvation in any other name. That's why we do all in the name of Jesus. We pray in the name of Jesus. We worship in the name of Jesus. We baptize in the name of Jesus because there's salvation in no other name under heaven. But we have to make sure that the one we believe in by that name is the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Apostle John. The great I Am. Emmanuel, God with us, prophesied of old and confirmed by the angel Gabriel to Joseph. He said, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Praise God, we need to have the authentic Jesus. There are some things that the experts look for when they're trying to judge whether an artwork is a forgery or not. There are all kinds of technological things that they do now with infrared and x-ray and other technology. But there are some basics, time-tested things. How do I know it's authentic? First of all, I have to look at the provenance. Another one of those, crack-a-lure and provenance. Those are really good words. I like those. Provenance is the place of origin or the earliest known history of something. Where did this artwork come from? Do we have a record of it? Is it documented? Is there somewhere contemporary where someone mentioned that this artwork was done by this artist? Provenance means the beginning of something's existence, a record of ownership. Oftentimes on great artworks, there's stamped on the back of it, on the paper on the back, the various places where it has been displayed. The gallery's names are there, and you can follow up on that to see for sure if really they had that artwork and this is the one. You can check the provenance. You need to check the provenance of the one you call Jesus. The Old Testament has over 300 references to the Messiah that are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. There are 21 different titles and identifiers from the Old Testament that Jesus fulfills and claims in the New Testament. The apostles walked with him for 3 years. The Bible says that over 500 saw him after his resurrection. Jesus has a provenance. 4 different gospels tell his story. 4 different writers. There's not many of antiquity that had that kind of provenance. The apostles took his teaching and went out in the book of Acts. They baptized in the name of Jesus wherever they went. They saw people filled with the Holy Ghost over and over again, hearing them speak with other tongues. Over and over again, just as it was said would happen, that they would be born of the water and of the Spirit. Jesus has provenance. We have a history. There's history in the Old Testament describing him. His life is recorded, and we have those that followed his instructions, and they saw the great works that he promised. Do we see what they saw? Do we baptize in Jesus' name? Do we see people filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking another tongue? Our lives change because of the Jesus that we know. Praise God. These same activities continued into the post-apostolic age. For a short time, history records that those that heard the apostles preaching that were taught by the apostles continued to preach the same message. Multiple thousands of manuscript copies in multiple languages are available to the scholars to identify the words that we read in our Bible. There's provenance. I can believe in who Jesus is because I not only have an experience with him, but there's a record. There's a history. The experts check out the painting to see if it matches the style of a master? Does it address the same themes that the master's work is known for? For example, is it an impressionist painting? Or does he focus on family scenes? Or does he do portraits? Whatever the theme and style of the master is, they would expect a piece that comes out of nowhere to have some connection to that. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love suffers long, it isn't kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Does my life reflect the themes of Jesus Christ? Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Praise God. Does my Jesus affect me this way? Does my relationship with him cause me to love my brother, to suffer long, to be kind? That's the style. That's the theme of the authentic Jesus. Jesus said, greater love than this hath no man, that he lay down his life for his friend. Paul said that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That's the style of the authentic Jesus. Another way that the experts identify the work of a master is they can even identify the brush strokes on the canvas, the type of brush that was used, and the length and breadth of the strokes. Jenny would know more about this than I would. But the fact is that they can identify the way in which the master used the brush on the canvas. You can see his hand. I say you can see his hand. If you have the authentic Jesus, you will see his hand in your life. John 15 says, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Galatians 5:16 says, but I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh has desires that are opposed to the Spirit, and the Spirit has desires that are opposed to the flesh, for these are in opposition to each other. So you cannot do what you want. But, everyone said but, if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The works of the flesh are obvious. We're going to drop down. But the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That's the nature of the authentic Jesus. Is this what's happening in my life? Is this what's happening in your life? Do we have the authentic Jesus? Lastly, another area, another element that's examined by the experts is the materials in the painting itself. What kind of surface is it painted on? What kind of, oftentimes there was an undercoat before the oils were put on. What was used there? What kind of paint is used? Are there elements in the paint that couldn't have existed at the time? Oftentimes forgeries are identified because there are chemicals found mixed in the paint that didn't exist, that weren't ever used until hundreds of years after the death of the master. Forgers can use newer materials. Interesting, just like religions can. There's a lot of, quote, Jesuses out there that don't really have the same thing as the original. There have been things that have been added to his teaching, things that have been included that aren't really part of his original framework. What kind of frame is the painting on? What kind of wood is it? All the way down to what do the wormholes in the wood look like? See, we have to have the right context. We have to understand that when we take a passage out of this word, when we talk about who Jesus is, we have to talk about it in light of the whole Bible. Not just one word here or there. Just recently, in a Bible study, I was talking about the book of John. In John 3, where Nicodemus came to Jesus at night and asked him, we know you're a teacher come from God. Because of all the things that you do, and Jesus proceeded to tell him about the new birth. He said, you must be born of the water and the Spirit. And then he went on to say that everyone who's born of the Spirit, you can hear the sound of it. And then he talked about John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. But that's all in the same context. You can't take John 3:16 away from John 3:5 or John 3:7 or John 3:8. It's all in this. So if you want to believe in Jesus Christ, you have to include the whole conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus. You must be born again, Jesus said. You must be born of the water and the Spirit. Praise God. What materials does Jesus use? Psalm 51. Says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. For you did not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You did not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. This is the material that Jesus uses, a contrite heart. A heart that's sorry for sin. A heart that's surrendered to him. God uses ordinary people. Jesus is looking for hungry hearts. He said, come unto me, all you who are weary, all who labor, I'll give you rest. 1 Corinthians 1 says, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. He's not looking for the ones who can prove how worthy they are. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Let's stand. The authentic Jesus is in this place today. We don't have to prove to him how worthy we are, because we can never be worthy enough. We don't have to prove how good we are. Yes, he wants to use our talents. Yes, he wants to use our abilities, but that is not how we come to him. We come to him broken and contrite, surrendered to him. All that I am, Jesus, all that I ever will be, I give to you. I want to be the material that you work your masterpiece on. The authentic Jesus, God manifest in the flesh, Messiah. Revelation depicts him as standing at the door and knocking. Sometimes we can get so caught up in our religion and our tradition that we think that suffices. But Jesus looked at the temple and he said, it's all coming down someday. Jesus said that he was the good shepherd seeking lost sheep. Are you feeling a little lost today? The good shepherd is calling your name. Jesus said, seek and you will find. What is it you're looking for? What is it you need? Knock and it will be open unto you. Praise God. On Mars Hill, Paul preached. First time they'd ever heard the message of a resurrected Savior. They thought he was a little goofy. But he said, he's not far from any one of us if we'll just reach out to him. Praise God. I want to encourage you, reach out today. I don't know all of the circumstances represented in this room or online, but I do know that the real Jesus is not far from any one of us if we'll just reach out to him. Praise God. I'll give you the opportunity to come and pray here, to pray at home, wherever you are. If you choose not to come to the front, you please take time to pray and seek his face where you're at. Won't you come? The real Jesus is here. The authentic Jesus. God Almighty manifests in the flesh. God with us, Emmanuel. Praise God.
Is moving here in front of me, moving here in front of me. The one who put death in his place is silencing my every fear, silencing my every fear.
I believe in you. You're the God.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Let the barbecuing begin. Amen. I'm so glad that I know who Jesus is, not because of who I am, but because of what he's done. I thought I knew who Jesus was. I actually got in a big discussion when I was in college with a roommate, with a guy who lived in my dorm, because I thought I was such an expert. And he let me know that I really didn't know a whole lot. And then when I started looking into the Bible, Brother Grant started teaching me, started coming to church, I realized I really didn't know much at all. But I'm glad that Jesus is willing to reveal himself to anyone who seeks him. And if you have any struggle understanding just how to approach him or how to receive him or how to live for him, this is the place for you to be. Praise God. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you. Be safe this holiday. Be a blessing to someone. In Jesus' name, God bless you.